gentlemen, we have a special guest that called the guest line and demanded airtime to talk to you fellas.
Yes.
So I give you right now the quarterback of your Dallas Cowboys, your 5-1 Cowboys, Tony Romo.
Yes, I don't know how much news we're going to break here, but when he calls and says, I can do it now, then okay, we do it now. How's it going today?
It's going great. Appreciate that intro, too. It makes me feel good. Appreciate you.
Right? Yeah, you're one of the few that can get this slot. We do a very important entertainment segment at 4:30 every day, Tony, so this is...
You're superseding it.
I feel like we should just roll right into that and I can just be part of it. That's probably what we should do.
Seriously.
Stop spins to your guys' show.
Yeah, why don't you just throw your wife on, too? She can answer a lot of entertainment questions, I bet.
That's too much information. I don't want all
we'll
that
a big, yeah, we'll have a big family affair. So, high times, man. This is rarefied air. We were talking to Henry Melton earlier in the week, and it's just really cool to feel the buzz and to see you guys play this way. It's a blast. I'm sure I can't imagine what it's like for you guys.
Yeah, it's been great. I mean, obviously, whenever you play the game, you're wanting to go out and put together a winning streak like we have, and at the same time, you understand this game is it's never easy, and anytime you have to, you know, go into Seattle or go into tough places and win, you got to lay it on the line. And so I think that it won't change even into this week. It's going to be the same thing. It's going to be a tough battle, grind it out type of game. They're going to bring everything that they have, and you got to be willing mentally to kind of go back and start over. And you can't let wins kind of creep up and be like, okay, we've arrived, we've done that stuff. It's just not, you know, our approach, and it's not good for trying to continue to keep winning.
Somehow, I don't get the vibe that that's going to happen with this team. I mean, it seems like it's a very grounded bunch who has a pretty good sense of who you are and where you are and the things you have to do to keep this thing going. That's the way it seems anyway.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think we understand that we've had small success in the middle of seasons here, you know, over the last few years, and obviously we haven't done what we've needed to do at the end of the year to push us over the top, but we're a veteran-laden group in some areas that we can kind of have that effect on the rest of the group and just kind of let them know we haven't accomplished anything yet. You know, ultimately, that stuff's down the road, and you just got to keep your head down and keep getting better, and it's great to beat Seattle. It's great to beat Houston. I mean, but you have another one the next week, and you're only as good as your last game, and that's the approach you have to keep going.
You know, it's... like you said, it's one thing to be 5-1, and you have a lot of people talking about you in town, and the players are starting to feel it a little bit. Is it difficult to? I know it's probably not for you, and it's probably not for a lot of guys that have been there for a long time, but to keep the other people, maybe some of the younger guys, grounded and say, "Look, we've done nothing so far."
Yeah, I think that's the approach. I think what you find is the guys who have been in it for a while, they understand it's about your routine. I mean, in anything in life, really, it's about your ability to just kind of put blinders on and go play and do what you do. And you're ultimately always trying to figure out a way to get rid of emotion and momentum from week to week. Because if you don't, you're just going to be riding high, and then you're going to be real low, and then it doesn't give you your best chance to go out and perform your best. And some of these young guys, it's interesting because you know it. Because you've played when you were young, and you just you have this feeling of like you've accomplished something sometimes, and you really haven't, because you're not really judged by what you've done in, you know, September, October, you know, November. It just keeps going. Everything gets pushed back, and now it's what have you done? You know, what are you going to do going forward? And when you have that attitude, it just makes it easy kind of to just, you lose, start over. You win, start over. You lose twice, start over. It's just, you got to find a way to come back and be at your best the next week, because this is a very physical, difficult game with a lot of great players, and it'll expose you real fast if you're not in the right frame of mind.
You know, as a veteran player on this thing now, do you find it a little odd or unique, I guess maybe a better word for it, that now you're the guy who has to impart this idea to the younger guys on the team?
Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily think of it as odd. I think of it as just the normal progression that takes shape for anybody. You know, I've used this analogy before, but when you're a freshman or a sophomore and you're playing on varsity, you're kind of like not really in a position to tell the older guys what to do. Even though you might be successful, you kind of have to defer in some areas. And what you find is when you become that senior and you have the skins on the wall, it kind of makes it a little easier just to tell them what needs to be done. And they're going to follow suit. Your attitude, your approach, you know, your work ethic, guys are watching and they're going to see that and they're just going to kind of follow suit in what you're doing and fall in line. And the more guys you have in your team, you know, that end up taking that same approach, it just makes it easy, you know, for the coaches to kind of get that across to everybody.
So the last couple of weeks, you've been playing football for a long time. I know that. But the last couple of weeks, you've had two plays that have been really, for a lot of people, it would have been career-defining. They were so good and so special. They happened to come in back-to-back weeks, and they looked fairly similar. But, and I know you've seen the tape clearly on both of these things. Are you surprised, seeing, knowing what you knew at the beginning of this year, that you were able to make both those plays, first the J.J. Watt play and then the Bruce Irvin play?
Yeah, I think first for me, some areas you work your butt off and you know, I've had to grind away when I was a kid at footwork, throwing, learning the game of football, and over the course of the 15, 20 years you've been playing, you kind of develop those things. As far as those, instinctively, that was just, you know, in some ways just God-given. I haven't done anything to, like, you know, I guess have that kind of feeling. You just have a sensation, an understanding, a feeling, I guess you could say, at that moment where people are, and you trust your instincts and you go with them. And in those moments, I've been able to kind of do that a few times in my career. So as far as when I went back or see them, I don't necessarily think that they're anything that, and I'm not trying to downplay them, I just don't know that they were anything that went crazy in my mind, like, whoa, how did I do that? I don't think of it in that way. It just kind of is what you kind of do to help your football team win. And the better question would be, like, I don't know if I could have done that in week one or preseason or even week two, really, because I just didn't have that same ability to fire my nerve and send the message to the legs to kind of, you know, through the back and everything, to be able to go do that. And that was what was frustrating starting off. You know, in San Francisco, I would have done that multiple times, but I just wasn't able to do that. And so hopefully moving forward, that continues to just be good and do what we've been doing, and I'll hopefully be able to make a lot more plays like that.
It just shows me that you still have a chance to be deadly in the pick and roll in the NBA.
That's true. I would be, although not too many guys. I'd be the power forward at about 6'2", so I'm not sure that helps out too much in most NBA teams. I'm the picker.
And you can downplay this all you want, but you got to admit, after the fact, you watch those plays on video, and they're pretty cool, aren't they?
Oh, they're real cool. They're just like you guys. You know, when you have that right segment, just that perfect comment at the moment, you let it ride. You kind of let it just hang in the air there for a little bit, like Corby. You know, it gets awkward sometimes, but he's okay with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that rarely happens, though, for us.
It's a lot of failure, man.
Yeah.
See that? That was a classic case right there. He just hit it on the head. That was pretty good.
All right, let me ask you this. You have been cool. And by the way, this is Tony Romo of the Cowboys here with us on the ticket. You've been cool enough to come by the table at training camp and come on with us for the last couple, 3 years now. And this last year when you came by there, I know you're not going to come on the radio and tell us that this year is going to be different or anything like that, but were you seeing things with this team, little things that made you think it might be at that time?
Well, yeah, I mean, if you went back and no one remembers things you said 2-3 months ago, I mean, unless you make some glaringly, you know, big statement, which we're not going to do anyway, but I think I recognized that our defense was better than what the initial, you know, reports and basically what people were predicting. So I had a good sensation that the plan and what we do defensively, I knew was much more difficult than what we've done. Now, we're system-wise, we've kept a similar type system, but we've changed a lot of things subtly within that system that allows our guys to, I feel like, gain an advantage going against quarterbacks and some of the looks. And I don't want to get into too much detail and give too much stuff away, but I knew automatically that it was troublesome for me during training camp. And I had to really adjust some of the thoughts and some of the normal procedures that I would go through. And once I felt that, I was like, boy, that alone will make us better, you know, by itself. And then on top of it, just, you know, some of these guys developing, you know, these other younger guys, some of these older guys really committed to their craft. And, you know, no one's working harder than our defensive unit. I can tell you that right now. This is, you know, these guys work their butts off. And not just, hey, they work hard. I mean, these guys are pounded into the ground over and over and over again. And, you know, if I haven't heard it once, I've heard it 1,000 times that you're tired, no one gives a crap. I mean, just no one cares. We don't care if you're tired. Get up and do it. You can't do it, get out. You know, and it's just, you hear that all day long, and it's just allowed these guys to play fast, aggressive, and go 100% all the time. And that's been a real great thing to see.
You know, it's taken hardly any time at all, and it's still shocking for me. It may not be shocking for you, but it's been such a quick turnaround for you guys to go from the worst rushing team in the NFL to now what is the best and most feared and the most physical. And, you know, I'm sure that there's been signs over the course of the couple of years, and you know, obviously with the guys that you've drafted, it's helped out quite a bit. But it's got to surprise you how good it is. It's, yeah, I mean, it's moving at a clip that is literally on a record pace.
Oh, no question. I think you don't ever expect that. I knew we'd be good running the ball. I didn't know. You never know quite how good. You know, we showed signs of it last year. The difference was, if you look at it closely, we weren't nearly as good on third down. And so you don't get the same number of runs. And when you connect on third down, you're able to move the chains. You're able to start with another 2 runs almost before you end up, you know, having to get off the field at the earliest. And so, you know, when you look at that closely, we could have done some things at a really, really high level last year, but we couldn't because we just weren't as successful on third down. And now that we're being, you know, a lot more efficient and leading the league in third down, that gives us a chance to continue to pound the ball and, you know, and get those late runs. Those, you know, DeMarco gets to 115, but he gets a lot of those yards at the end of the game. And if you're trailing by a bunch, or if you hadn't, you know, got the third down stuff, sometimes you don't get quite as many yards. And not every game is going to be like that, but in that specific game, it was great just to see the grinded out kind of session that you had throughout the game, and then you start to pop it a couple late, and that's how football goes.
I want to ask you about the guy who is here now that was not here in previous years, and you're seeing with him what he's like, what your relationship with him is like, and that's Scott Linehan, because he is kind of the X factor, the added ingredient into this thing this year. What do you think he's brought, and what's working with him like for you?
Well, I think the number one thing is the way he calls the game just fits exactly with what, you know, there's just a time and place for each call. And some calls are better on first down in 10 than second down in 10, you know. Some calls are better, and everyone knows them, you know, on third and 5 and first and 10. It's just the progression that happens. And so I can almost predict what he's going to call a lot of the time, and it makes your job so very comfortable as a quarterback that he has just that mental makeup and thought process that kind of goes through it the exact same way as mine. So we're able to kind of just be in sync, and you go out and execute the plan. And you don't have to do much more than that other than just be trusting of it and understand, because you talked about it so much throughout the week. You have the same thoughts on things, these situations, and he remembers it, and he takes it, and then he had a great idea, and then boom, he implements them in the game. And then, you know, my job is to go out and execute that. You know, I think that the rapport I have with him, it's been outstanding.
So, you know, I know the answer to this, the real answer to this, at least. You go into a place like Seattle, and all you guys, I know to a man, you expect to win. There's no doubt about that in my mind, that you guys thought you could win that game. But walking away, looking at the tape, and maybe you knew in the moment, the way that you physically dominated that game, were you on the plane going, man, that really does surprise me on both sides of the ball?
Well, I don't think we look at it that way. I mean, you try not to get caught up in the, it's Seattle, it's away, it's the hardest place, and these things. You just say, hey, we're going to do what we do. If we execute to each one of our individuals' highest ability, we have some players who are very, very special players. And when you add up the mix of them, you know, it's just very difficult for teams, you know, to really take away, because most teams think they're going to take away what you're good at. They're going to try to. With us, we're just very sound in a lot of areas. And, you know, in the Seattle game, they did a good job against the run early, but we were able to throw at a very, very high clip, you know, for a while in that game. And then as they started to slow the pass a little bit, then we started to run. You know, and it just makes it difficult on defenses to be able to handle that both sides, because, you know, not everybody has that kind of balance. And, you know, ultimately you still have Dez Bryant on the outside, even though we're a great running team. You still have Jason Witten. You still have these guys. And, you know, it's made it difficult for people.
You know, one thing that I did notice that I thought was awesome, and we talked about this on Monday quite a bit, was whenever you threw the touchdown to Jason, to see the, like, this unbridled celebration in the end zone. Jason Witten, here's a 32, 33-year-old dude that's been in the league for a long time, that's got a million catches. And it was like it was his first touchdown. He's jumping up and down, looking like a little kid in peewee football. He's so freaking excited. And I know that permeates, you know, throughout the whole team. And I don't know, it's so refreshing to see that happen with a guy that, you know, earns every single bit of it.
Yeah, I think one of the great things about the NFL is that it has such a genuine team feel. And when I say that, like, college basketball is like that. When you watch college basketball, you really enjoy college basketball because you can just feel the team atmosphere surround it. It's guys work for a good shot. They not a ton of isolation. There's not these, you know, that make it feel individualized. And the NFL is the same way. It's really hard. It's difficult. And when you score that feeling, it's for everybody. You know, it's just, the game is hard. It's hard to constantly be in a position to be successful, and you've got to work your butt off. And Jason's enthusiasm, you know, is obviously shared throughout the group, and he sets that tone and that standard for a lot of people on our football team, and it's a, you know, just a great thing to be around and see, and, you know, that gets everybody going.
So you like college basketball more than the NBA?
No, I like the NBA more.
Because he's got a shot still.
Right.
You know, as long as Dirk's in the league and Dirk is older than him, he still has a legitimate shot. You realize that?
Yes, I do realize that.
Yes, I'm just around the corner here. Any day now, I'm sure I'll be putting on, what is it? What do they wear? They wear cleats out there? I'm not sure exactly how.
All right, I'll give you one chance.
I like college basketball, actually. I enjoy the passion that the kids play with. And the NBA does, too. It's just, once you get to that point, it's very, you can watch the game and understand, you know, the individual talent takes over those games, which is incredible. You know, that's what makes those guys amazing. In college basketball, you don't quite get that same sensation. It's ultimately about their plan and their team and their style of play and their commitment to, you know, just playing great defense over and over again for 35 seconds. So it's a joy to watch.
I'll give you one chance to come clean and say that, yes, on that play, I was throwing to Jason, and I didn't even know Terrence Williams was on the field.
No, I was actually throwing to Terrence. I saw Jason's guy. I just didn't think Jason would get where he was at on the field. I didn't think he was going to be able to get the first down if I delivered him the ball. And I could have thrown it to him. You know, I saw him, but where the DBs were situated, one on top of Jason and the other a little bit off and inside of Terrence, I was going to throw more of a rope straight line shot to Terrence. And I thought Jason's guy might be able to kind of get under that if he took a quick kind of dart route right to it, and so I kind of put a little air under it, and Terrence did the rest. He made a great play.
It did give everybody pause a little bit last week when you took the big hit early in the game. Did that just knock the air out of you, and you're okay now?
Yeah, I mean, it a little more than just the wind, but I think the wind was part of it at the time. But, you know, it just caught me pretty good in the ribs, and you got to deal with that for a little bit. And then, you know, just when you play a team like that, you're going to, you almost know going in to win a football game like that, you have to kind of put yourself out there and do things that and come back from that feeling throughout the football game and just keep grinding away and accept that you're not going to feel great. But, you know, very few people who end up being champions or end up winning games like that do feel great. So once you realize that, you're more willing and you're accepting of that.
All right, man, go do some, I don't know, ab work or something. Go watch Sean T for like the next half hour and crank it up.
Or go do some isometrics.
Yeah.
Sounds good. You guys have fun with your entertainment session.
We will, buddy. Thanks a lot, man.
All right, thanks a lot, Tony. We really appreciate it, man.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Tony.
Wow. How about that? Tony Romo.
Good stuff,
of the
man.
Cowboys.
Very good stuff.
Boy, I hope his phone sounded okay.
It was sketchy at first, but it was fine.
It was absolutely fine.
I could hear everything, so yep. It was all good.
It's all good back here.
All right. Very cool. Very cool of him to take the time to do that with his little buddies here on the ticket.
Exclusively on the ticket.
Yes.
That's true.
Won't hear that anywhere else.